Good. Well, good morning. We wanted to thank everyone for being on. We have Leah, Executive Director of CBCF. We have Beth Folsom in Colorado, Pam Olson in Florida, Bill Martin in Kentucky, Jamie Caligiuri in Iowa, Cindy Williams in Michigan, Pastor Marion McIntosh in Connecticut, Deb Corbett in Oklahoma, and Delbert Pratt in Illinois. Thank you all for being on. We just appreciate you so much. And I'd love to take a moment to open in prayer, just a quick prayer. Bill, would you please open us up today?
Yes, thank you. Make sure I'm not on mute here. Can everybody hear me okay?
We can, thank you.
Okay. Father God, we come before you this morning, and I'm just so amazed and so pleased and so privileged to be able to come into your presence just by simply opening my mouth and talking. I thank you, Father, that where two or more gathered together, that you are in the midst of them. And I thank you so much that you're here in the midst of us this morning. I thank you for leading and guiding Summer and Leah in this conference call, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you're in control of the heavens and the earth, because this is your kingdom. We turn it over to you. We give it to you. We stand in the gap for you here on this earth. And we pray your will be done, Father. Your kingdom come, Father, on this earth, just like it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. And I see that Leah actually dropped off, so that gives me, because I wanted to pray really quick for Texas and Oklahoma, so I'm going to just take a minute. Lord, we thank you for your protection for Deb and for Jenny as they travel, Lord, to Texas and Oklahoma. And we do just ask, Father, for your intervention in the flooding situation, that people would be protected. We pray that homes would be protected. Father, we pray for the dam situation there in Texas, that dam would hold, that they would find an alternative means to drain some of that water. God, we just ask for, again, your hand of protection, Lord. We trust we just trust you in the midst of it, God. We ask for your peace.
The host has joined the conference.
And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome back, Leah. We just did a quick prayer to open up, and I also want to pray for Oklahoma and Texas for the flooding situations. But I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for opening, Bill. I appreciate that. I apologize. I moved my phone, pushed a button, and hung up on all of you. So thrilled to be back. All right. So I would love to start this morning with a quick update. First of all, I just want to take a moment to say again, and I don't say this often enough, and I know Summer reiterates this constantly, but I just want to say I can't tell you how grateful I am for the work that all of you are doing. And it's become so obvious that your efforts and what you're doing at the state level has become the primary sort of steel rod at the back of this organization. You guys have been instrumental in advancing what has becoming a very important and crucial network across this nation. And just as I was meeting with Congressman Forbes yesterday and he was talking about the things that he thinks are most important and need to be done and all that, I realized that's exactly what our state directors are doing for our state leaders across this nation, and was able to give him some reports and some updates on the things that I knew and was aware of. But just again, want to say thank you. I know it must seem lonely at times, tireless at times, wondering if you're making a difference at times. Is this even making a dent? And I really want you to hear how much of a dent and how important the work that you're doing is. So, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. One of the quick two updates that I want to bring to you is what has happened with Pray USA. I know, of course, you are all at the summit. And then at the last meeting, I gave you an update on the Pray USA initiative and what's happened with that. And then I believe hopefully all of you listened to the meeting if you weren't on it. And then now I just want to give you another update of what's happened a month later. The response to this initiative has been so incredible. And I think here's the way that it seems to be working. I talked to people about, just briefly, the summit these government leaders came to. Out of that summit, they decided on one of the key initiatives was this Pray USA. Started with 52 leaders. We now have over 600 government leaders signed on, but not just signed on to the proclamation. They have made themselves available to go into churches to read the proclamation, stand up with the pastor, by demonstration, break the back of the lie of separation of church and state, and call this nation and the church and the Christians to pray for this nation. And I'm telling you, as I begin to sort of unpack and unfold the movement and what's happening, people are so excited. And I'm not talking just everyday citizens, which is very inspiring. I'm talking about high-level people who have seen movements come and go, who are involved in prayer initiatives, who are saying, Leah, this is huge. This is so important. So just a couple of examples. Of course, many of you know that the National Day of Prayer did an unusual thing by highlighting the 3-minute video at their event on Wednesday night, which is unusual. Usually they don't, bring in other initiatives, but they said this is that significant. And then the Council for National Policy, which is a high-level organization, leaders from all over the major ministries and organizations, conservative movement, come together. And the very first, and they usually walk away with one or two action steps that they're committing to walk out together. And this year, to my surprise, when I introduced the Pray USA initiative to them, they made that the number one action step that all the organizations should be getting behind full force when they walk out of this summit, the meeting we were at last weekend. And then, of course, Watchmen on the Wall, FRC's Wall Builders Conference, they fit us in at the last minute, a week before the conference. It's a packed event, and they fit us in and said, it's too important, we need to play it. So they squeezed us in. So it's just getting, and I could go on and on like that, of the organizations who are understanding what's at stake and beginning to promote this. We have people that are getting ready to launch this out to massive lists of their pastors and their churches, and not to mention, of course, which I'm going to turn it over in just a moment to a few of you to talk about what's actually happening in your state by your legislators. But I just wanted you to understand and to know the significance of what's happening here and the response that we're getting. It has been overwhelming, and I don't think we've even yet seen what's going to happen through your efforts and through what's happening through this call to prayer initiative. So with that, I would really love it if a couple of you would share what's happening in your states. I know Michigan, Cindy, I know that some things are happening. In fact, on June the 2nd, we have an exciting event, and I know this isn't the time to go into a huge amount of detail, but if you could just give me a 2-minute update, each of you, on what your legislators are doing specifically related to Pray USA. This isn't the time to go into the fullness, but specifically with this initiative, if you could give us a quick update, that would be great. Cindy, would you start us off?
Sure. Thank you. The legislators here in Michigan for the Pray USA, they have met this week with top pastoral leaders. These are people who over their international, national, state level, they have voices of influence. They met with a small group of them this week to bring on board, get feedback from the pastors. That meeting was very successful. Next week, June 2nd, we're estimating at least 400 coming in. For that event, there's a number of prayer networks, that are on board. But basically, the legislators will be officially presenting to the church and calling them in to join them for praying for the nation. Sorry, I meant for the nation, with unceasing prayer. And then following that, they are already, and I'm helping them make connections in the state, the legislators are eagerly looking to go out to churches on Sunday and to share the call to prayer and to have the churches sign their people up there. The pastors who came were very excited. They were just so thankful to meet the legislators, and they're a great group of people to mix in. So I think Michigan's really going to spread out fast on the Pray USA. We've got a lot of people on board. So I'll just stop right there.
Thanks so much, Cindy. And Pam, I believe there's some things happening with this initiative in Florida as well.
Yes, we've got Representative Mike Hill that's working with getting the legislators to sign the call to prayer. Our governor and all our cabinet members have signed it, and I was able to put forth the Pray USA at the National Day of Prayer at the Capitol with the governor and cabinet members and some of the leaders and read the proclamation, talk about Pray USA, drive people to the website. And so our leaders are really stirred up about it, and I'm thrilled that our governor and cabinet has already signed it. And Mike is hoping to present it. Representative Hill is hoping to present it when we go into special session next week on the floor at some point. He's trying in the 3-week special session in the House and then the senator. We've got a senator that's working on it. So there's a lot of excitement. People are beginning to hear about what's happening, and they understand it because of the religious liberty issues that are going on. And anyway, it's just exciting to see our legislators. They're praying together, and I'm the only one that's allowed in with them in their private members-only thing to pray, but it's been growing too. So I'm hoping during special session we'll be able to gather.
Wonderful. Thanks, Pam. That's exciting. And Beth, in Colorado, I know you guys have some activity going around this as well.
Yes. What we're doing is we're mapping out all the churches in Colorado, tagging them to the legislators, and then the legislators will be sending a letter out to each one of those churches in their districts, inviting them to participate in Pray USA. Legislators are also committing to going and being at as many of those events as they possibly can. We are teaming with other national groups, Colorado Family Action, which is an Influence Colorado, is a spinoff from Focus, been able to develop great relationship now with the National Day of Prayer folks who are on board. The state director for the Billy Graham Association, he's on board. And so that's what I'm just like what Leah said earlier, is the other groups that are coming in and saying, yeah, this is important. And so we've been really blessed with that. And it's Congressman Buck has given us 4 days at the end of June, or actually 5 days, end of June, beginning of July, where he's dedicating those days to going from one event to another. And what we're starting with is pastors' events, and we're bringing groups of pastors together and walking them through what this would look like in their church so that they can participate first as committing themselves and then taking that to their churches. And Influence Colorado, Debbie Chavez, she's the president there, is filming and going to be doing some still shots and video that we can then share on our website with other pastors who want to know a little bit more of what this looks like before they're really ready to jump in.
That's excellent.
I just don't mean to interrupt, but also Senator Sonnenberg circulated the call to prayer in the Capitol as well, right?
Before we got out, we did that kind of, we did all that because now we're out of session. So it's harder to get all the legislators on one page, but we're working on that, getting some kind of a communication portal up there that they will actually use. Senator Sonnenberg and Representative Buck are really behind this, but unfortunately they both are living in the part of our state that is being flooded at the moment, so a lot of their attention has been drawn away at the moment, but it will be back because God will take care of this flooding, and so we're looking forward to that, as well as praying for them, what they're going through right now.
Yes, well, we will be praying for them.
Thanks, Beth. And Ginny, in Iowa, I know there's some activity there as well, right?
Yes, we had our kickoff on April 30th, actually, and we've had 77 legislators sign on to the Pray USA initiative, to the proclamation. And also we kicked off In God We Trust campaign. Right now, they're there late because of budget reasons, so the focus is mainly there right now. But a great, huge response, and when we give our updates, I guess I can give more. But we had probably around 150 people that showed up that day for it and signed on to the proclamation. And so in the process of getting it out across our state, people are just pastors.
Jenny, we're having a little hard time hearing you. I'm not sure you're coming in and out.
Okay, let's see.
That's better. That's better.
Is that better?
It is a little better,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a headset on, and I can get off of that. So let me do that right.
Are you there? Is that better?
Yes.
That's perfect. Okay. So I don't know what you heard, but April 30th is when we had our kickoff. For the and we had a lot of citizens sign the proclamation in 77. Legislators signed on. Our governor's been gone, and lieutenant governor, but I'm planning to get them to sign it also, which they will. That won't be an issue. So we will have over half our legislators that have signed on to it at this point. I don't know if we'll have more or not, but it's huge, and they have re-upped for the caucus itself. So. I'm going to continue to go around the state and work with the legislators this summer, those that will, getting it into the churches and getting it just into individual organization groups, you know, too. And I will just say National Day of Prayer partnered with us, Family Leader partnered with us, Aglow. I'm trying to remember all the organizations. We had I did a great outreach for our Iowa Call to Prayer this year. To come show a united front to our state. And we had a lot of organizations that came together to support this and to participate, which I think is huge in itself. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I could probably go on. And when you have a chance to share later in the meeting, if you want to add your any more PrayUSA information if I didn't reach you. But I just wanted to give a flavor and give a moment of the kind of activity. A couple of things I want you guys to remember is, one, the we're adding to the list of organizations on the website, on the PrayUSA website, that are supporting this. So we want to really build that list up. So if you have organizations that are willing to go on the website and be listed as supportive organizations, be sure and get their permission and then send their names over to us. And if they have permission to do, you know, Colorado Aglow, and they can do their particular organization, feel free to do that. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes it has to be done from the national. But take a look on that list, too, and see if there's any organizations that are supporting us that you're nearby that you maybe didn't even know has already signed on at the highest level. Because the ones that I have signing on are the top, you know, the tops of these organizations, and so they may have people in your state that would be supportive. And thank you all for all the work that you've done to also help get those signatures back, those proclamations back. That's been really exciting. If you still have any out, encourage your legislators to get those back to us. We know we still have a few more coming from various states. We already have 610 signatures, but our goal is to have over 1,000 government leaders signed on and at least one government leader in all 50 states. I want to be able to say over 1,000 government leaders, somebody from all 50 states are on board. So that's kind of our next goal, is to get these people, somebody aware of this in every single state so that we can start the ball rolling everywhere. And listen, we need your feedback on the material too. As you know, we've got downloadable kits for the pastors, for the churches, for the organizations. Please give us feedback. We can still modify that if need be, or add to it, or different things. So you guys will be our eyes and ears and the first line of getting us feedback if we need to make changes and make get things more useful for you. So just very excited, and most importantly, too, get us your photos and your stories. We want to start blasting those out through our Facebook, through our website. We want to put them on the front page. We want to have an opportunity. Twitter, just very, very. There's a lot of energy around pictures of government leaders, and especially when it's obvious, you know, that there's a government leader in a church reading a proclamation, and that it's that it's this thing that's happening. So anything or, you know, at an event or church or anything, if you can get us those pictures and even a little blurb or a story, or you kind of got to give us the information around it so that we can post it and know what the backstory is on the picture, please get that to us. So anyway, enough about that. I think you can get the sense of what's going on here. And just the opportunity and the possibilities of what could happen through this movement. One couple other quick things before I turn it back to Summer. The In God We Trust campaign, you guys, has breathed into that In God We Trust campaign. We've never let go of it. We just kind of broke for a little while as we went through the holidays and then the summit and then launched Pray USA. But we've always believed In God We Trust is going to be a long-term, with ebbs and flows initiative. And we now have Huckabee has reengaged, David Huckabee, another organization that has a million Facebook fans and 77 million, access to 77 million data points, data people, and they feel like this is a very powerful campaign, and they want to hit that million window mark, and they are committed to it. They said 40,000 is not enough. There's no reason why we can't hit a million. So they're reengaged, and they looks like they're going to roll out in the next week or two with some testing and moving that forward. So please take advantage of that too. Make sure you get your state page up as it rolls out through other marketing venues. People will hear about it, and then if they hear about it from you, we would love it if they went to your state page and got their Million Window campaign as opposed to the national page. So do take advantage of that for not only for fundraising, but for awareness and getting people to your page. So that's a
– Leah, can I clarify something on that really quick?
Sure.
I just want to clarify really quick. For those of you that are new, were not with us last year, during this time, there was a huge push for a Million Window campaign, and we have individual state pages for In God We Trust that if you all are interested, you can send out to your networks through emails or what have you, and you can drive people to that page. All donations that go through that page would go back to your prayer caucus, and a small percentage is a small overhead that goes to Troopathon, and then the organization that's helping for fulfillment, but the rest of it goes to the prayer caucus, so to your state prayer caucus. If you do not have a state page, let me know. We'll work on getting that created for you. Otherwise, I just wanted to give a little bit of backstory on that.
Yeah, good clarification. Thanks, Summer. Well, that's it from my side, so I'm going to pass it back to you.
Okay, great. We do want to hear from the states, but I wanted to follow up to a conversation that we had on our last meeting. We talked about the importance of making it very clear who we are all representing in certain scenarios. So we, as a solution, we talked about a name tag, and that's something that we're going to be moving forward on. We'll do our part by doing research on finding a couple of different options, and I'd love to run them past y'all to see if this is something, a direction that you'd like to go. So you would have a name badge when you are representing the foundation in the Capitol or in a church or at an event, just to help distinguish who you are and who you're speaking on behalf of. So we'll be working on that and getting some proofs to y'all here in the next upcoming couple weeks. Also, just a reminder, we have a telebriefing on June 8th at 2 p.m. Eastern, and Congressman Forbes will be on, as will Kelly Shackelford, and he's the president of Liberty Institute. So we see this as a great opportunity for legislators to engage, of course, with a member of the Congressional Prayer Caucus and also religious liberty expert. So please do what you can to get the word out to legislators. We have sent an email invitation. We're also calling them, and we are getting RSVPs, but it's just sometimes hard to reach everybody. So if you have the opportunity, please feel free to let them know that June 8th at 2 p.m. Eastern, there will be a conference call. Like I said, there's emails that are being sent. There's an RSVP there, or they can just follow up with me or you if you know the call-in information. to make sure that they have that at the time of the call. If they have, there will be a time of live Q&A. So if they have any questions specifically related to the SCOTUS marriage case or Religious Freedom Restoration Acts in their states or what have you, anything that these legislators would like to get some expert advice on, this is the perfect time to do that. Questions can be submitted beforehand to me so that we can just go with the flow of the call, or they can be just ready to ask, and all of you are invited. So if you have any questions as well, please feel free to submit those to me or be ready to ask at the time of the call. So just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. Also, we want to make, we're working to get the website in a place where we can have events, all the state events up as well as the national events. We're going to be creating an events form, and that would be a means for you to provide all the details to us so that we can get those events on the website so that you can have a couple of points to drive, a couple of places to drive people if you like. I'll be sending that form out. And then also, I'm sure all of you, some of you have been doing this a while, others are somewhat new, but as many are getting out of session, just wanted to give a quick reminder that this is the perfect time to try and get a meeting with your co-chairman to think through and strategize for next session through prayer, education, legislation, and mobilization, specifically trying to think through those areas and create a plan and strategy around that for the next session. So with that, I want to take some time to hear from you all. I'll just start out by asking, is there anybody that would like to start that you feel like you really want to share what's going on in your state? Okay.
Amara, I guess, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bill. That'd be great. Feel free to share from Kentucky. Great.
I guess you remember meeting Tim Moore at the Charlotte meeting. And Tim has taken the bull by the horns and is putting together, this is really an answer to prayer. Mike and I had been praying for a few years about more organization with our prayer caucus during session. And Tim Moore, who is a representative, has decided to take this upon himself along with the help of another legislator. So Kentucky is going to be heard from more and more frequently as next session starts. We're even going to get together this summer for strategizing meetings, Tim and Mike and I, as well as the other legislator. So we're excited. It's an answer to prayer. God is working, and it's really going to grow and explode here in Kentucky.
I love to hear it. The feedback that we are hearing is that those that attended the summit have gone back and they are just inspired, fired up, and excited. So we want to continue to hopefully create a means for more regular opportunities to get together. So we're just excited to hear that and appreciate Representative Moore and all of your efforts there. I know Representative Hoover has been working as well, but I'm glad to hear that kind of this fresh momentum in the state. That's great. Thank you for sharing, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I appreciate what your state is doing strategically with the alternative to the RFRA. And I don't know if you mind just taking a couple of minutes to share, if you will, as to what they're planning and kind of their unique position and trying to get something passed that would protect religious liberty but wouldn't create such an uproar in the state, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Summer. I really appreciate the opportunity. Ohio, I think, is just a very interesting state because obviously it's the heart of it all, and without Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, nobody wins, at least two of the three of those you have to have. So we have to be very careful of what we're doing kind of as it relates to the national scene because of how money works. You know, I mean, some of the gay lobby is able to just fundraise incredibly. I mean, they can just raise tons of money by a 30-second commercial or, you know, even a Facebook invite or something. So we have to be very careful on how we're doing it. And so the strategic way that we're kind of going about our conversations are really just in the back room with some of the folks who are probably more prominent in the discussions, who have more of the connections to some of the outside groups. I was telling some earlier that we have a lesbian female Democrat, a gay male Republican, and a very, very far to the right, well, I don't want to say very, very far, but pretty far to the right Republican, all having a conversation about how to combine anti-discrimination legislation with religious liberty carve-outs. The way it would be designed, preferably right now, I mean, it would basically be some of the most comprehensive religious liberty legislation in the entire United States. In fact, it would go very far above RFRA. We actually have, a case law that supports basically a generic RFRA. I kind of call the civil litigation piece RFRA plus, where the individual, you know, the person-to-person situation, you know, could be legislated, although there's a potential. Well, anyways, I've altered that one. But that's a piece that's just difficult. It's very hard to talk about. We have, in the city of Columbus, Ohio, there's a full anti-discrimination ordinance on the books, and there's no religious liberty carve-outs whatsoever. So we had a lesbian school teacher at a Catholic high school who signed a piece of paper, said, you know, I will not violate any of the Catholic social teaching, you know, laws, and, you know, they came out in the newspaper, their partner had died, and so they wanted to, you know, be on the death certificates and as a partner, and, you know, they were in the obituary, the parents complained, and the teacher was fired. And just a couple months ago, in the lawsuit, the teacher actually won. So even though it was against the school rules, the teacher signed a document that said that they would abide by the school rules, they still won because there was just a blanket anti-discrimination ordinance on the books. And whereas nobody wants to discriminate in the original sense of the term, I think it's very appropriate that we still have religious rights, you know, for our religious institutions specifically. But then you can also kind of bring it out a little bit to not only nonprofits, but also for-profits that are held by the church. We're having kind of a questionable situation coming up here in June or July, whenever the Supreme Court decides to release a report, probably next month. Oral arguments have already began, and you know, we could be gay rights or a gay marriage state. So it's kind of in part preparing for how do we make sure that, you know, if we're a gay marriage state, there's nothing we can do about that, but we can definitely protect our pastors. We can definitely say that you can't force someone to do something that's against their sincerely held religious beliefs. And I don't think too many people really have a problem with that, but it's the marketing of it that is just incredibly important. You know, discrimination, just the general word discrimination, you know, really can set people on fire. And so we have to find a way to balance that. We're calling it the Fairness for All Act is what we're trying to create here. And I think people are really starting to get on board with that. But we're just kind of having, as it goes with the religious liberty conversations, really starting to have the back-end conversations that will probably be the most important pieces to it. You know, with the press, I mean, one little thing could really just blow up. In fact, we had a legislator probably 2 weeks after the Indiana RFRA situation blew up, who dropped they sent through our internal email system a co-sponsor request asking for other legislators who would be interested in signing up for a bill that basically, it was a very basic protection for the priest. It was a pastor or priest would not be forced to marry gay couples if we did become a gay marriage state. And that entire co-sponsor request verbatim was in the newspaper. So somebody felt so strongly that they copied and pasted or literally sent an internal document to the press, because even though that's something that most people would agree with, the rhetoric coming from Indiana at the time, you know, from the liberal press, just was so great that this is something that could easily spread. And so we have to be very careful that we're not giving, you know, the liberal press and the gay lobby the opportunity to take a runaway train on something like this, and especially because that can make them more money in the long run have conversations about that all the time. What if we file a lawsuit and we lose? Ohio's a loser pay state, so are we actually going to be paying the ACLU to do some of these things? But, you know, we don't want them to be able to fundraise any more than they can based on a slip of information. So we're being very strategic and very careful on how we have some of these conversations. So none of the details are really out there. But the idea is that we're going to create a space in the law that clarifies the religious liberty carve-outs for that. And it should be pretty comprehensive. It won't touch public accommodations. That's just such a touchy issue, especially with the bathrooms. And you see a couple states are getting into those conversations now, and they're difficult. And you know, up in Michigan there, that conversation exploded a little bit a couple years ago. Or was it last year, I think? And so it's just a difficult conversation. But we're hoping, kind of in the meantime, while this is happening over the summer, really getting into the Call to Prayer initiative. We're having probably this week, maybe actually might be at the beginning of next week, one of our key legislators, Chairman Derrickson, is going to be sending out an email, and then I'll send out an email on the private side, getting our legislators and staff actually to sign the call to prayer here at the State House. And we're offering it to some of the local organizations to see if they'd like to do it with some of their events already here at the State House and around the state, and hopefully over the summer getting into some more churches as well.
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Yes.
And just to clarify on that, legislation, so the situation in Washington, the situation of the florist in Washington, I think it was also the photographer in New Mexico that had been sued basically because they did not want to violate their deeply held beliefs by participating in a gay marriage. This legislation would ultimately protect them and their right to do that, as well as pastors, as well as Christian schools and things like that. Is that right?
This legislation, well, the concept being away from public accommodations, it's kind of a twofold answer. Well, maybe threefold, but it would not directly protect them, but that's kind of the first piece. Now, the second two pieces are if they had an affiliation or a relationship with a faith-based organization, a church, a faith-based nonprofit, it would give them a great argument in court. Well, it would probably almost undoubtedly protect them if they had an official relationship. If they had just some kind of quasi relationship, it would give a very good opportunity to protect them. But what we just learned, so this is the third part, out of Kentucky with a T-shirt shop, and this is something that we're going to begin to educate some folks on, especially with this legislation and with some of the things we're doing around the state, is that we saw with a T-shirt company, this company had routinely denied customers who wanted, maybe it was a marijuana T-shirt or some provocative statement, on their T-shirt. And so they have had a longstanding basically tradition of enforcing their religious beliefs. So when somebody comes up to them and says, well, we want, this gay rights T-shirt, and they say, no, well, we have a great justification for it. So this bill would not directly specify that they would be protected, but it would give kind of a couple different ways for them to make that argument. So with the T-shirt shop, it was actually against the First Amendment, which is pretty impressive because we had to write a RFRA because the First Amendment wasn't working for us. And so this is kind of a way that it may help bring the First Amendment piece back. And like I said, we also already have a RFRA here in the state, so that would work. But the civil litigation piece is really the big question, right?
Wow. Okay, so many unique things that we're dealing with in this time. But thank you, Chris. Thank you for the input there and what Ohio is trying to do to prepare. We're still praying for a positive ruling in the Supreme Court case, but it's good that people are thinking through and trying to do what they can should it go the wrong way. Good. Let's see, we have about 10 minutes left, and we have several people on the line. How about Connecticut, Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut, would you please share with us?
Well, at this time, we're yet excited about what's going on and being connected with the Congressional Prayer Caucus. Having said that, it's relatively quiet in Connecticut, especially in that they're winding down the session. But we're really looking forward to next session and doing some of the things that we had hoped to do before the session was over, And that's pretty much it for Connecticut right now.
Okay, well, you're staying strong in prayer there, we know. And, okay, well, thank you for that. And Deb in Oklahoma, would you please share with us?
Sure, thank you. Our session has come to a close, and we are, we've already started trying to strategize for next session and summer gatherings and various legislators and to further promote what is in our hearts and what we are so excited about as far as the Congressional Prayer Caucus initiatives. And so kind of quite on the forefront right now, but I am so excited about what is to come. And when we develop our state strategy, you know, we will definitely, I will let you know, and so that we can further, you know, we can work on that together. And it's just so wonderful to hear what the other states are doing. I'm relatively new at this, and I'm excited listening to all of you. So thank you for your input.
Thanks, Deb. I saw that Representative Kern, who is the co-chair there in Oklahoma, passed a resolution calling on President Obama and Congress to reaffirm the nation's commitments to protecting religious freedom and condemning the deaths of Christians around the world. So I was excited to see that Sally's just staying in it, and it looked like it passed with strong support. So appreciate all of her efforts and all of your efforts there. Good. I saw, let's see, anybody that has not shared that would like to share? Okay, it looks like actually we did hear from everybody. Good. Well, I wanted to mention, too, that Liberty Institute, Liberty Council, I believe it's Liberty Institute. Yes, Kelly Shackelford. They are creating materials and things to help pastors and churches and Christian organizations to put policies in place to protect them. Should just in the times that we're living in. So I'm going to go ahead and send that out to y'all in the follow up call or the follow up email. So that will be just some resources for you to take a look at and share with those in your sphere of influence about putting in protections in place. They could potentially keep them from frivolous lawsuits. Good. Anybody have any questions for either another state, for Leah, for myself, anything that you want to bring up, discuss, that was mentioned or not mentioned?
I would just like to hear from Chris. What part of Ohio are you in, Chris?
I live right dead center in Columbus, Ohio, right downtown. I'm from Akron originally, you may know. A brother of mine, LeBron James, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him. That's where he's from.
Yeah. Just can I give him a phone number, Leah? Chris, I'd like for you to call me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, 859-489-2536. I'd like to connect with you, get together with you, combine Ohio and Kentucky. You got a lot in common.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, that actually brings up a good point. We try to keep a contact sheet with everybody's emails and phone number. Summer, is that up to date?
It's not, but we can. Everybody has each other's emails. Everybody has each other's emails.
Is that something you'd be able to get up to date and also send out? We'd probably need to do that every so often when we add new state directors.
Sure, I can work on that.
Yeah,
this
would
be
great.
Can I make a quick go? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Leah. It's Cindy. I'll make a comment after you're done, Leah. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was going to just mention, too, that people might have a question about the summit, and
We did have a lengthy conversation yesterday, and I think everybody agrees that another summit is absolutely in order. The congressmen want to do another summit. The state legislators want to do another summit. So just be aware that we're looking at the first or second week in March of next year. We're just trying to decide now about where we should have it. Should we go back to Charlotte? Should we try to find another location? So just be in prayer about that and know that if your legislators ask or if you're wondering, yes, we will be planning to do another summit, barring some major block, you know, from the Lord.
I was going to make a comment about the, you know, exchanging the phone numbers and for the regional. I thought that was a really good idea because, for example, I don't want to let up off of the prayer focus for the Supreme Court. You know, it's like we throw prayer out towards what the decisions they're making on a national level. But one of the things I've had to remember to do is encourage people, whether it's the Great Lakes or in Michigan, that we've got to keep in prayer over top of it because who knows what God will do behind the scenes, whether that's finished, written up or not. I mean, God can do anything at any time, and the decision's not been rendered down. So being able to connect with one another, it would be awesome just to, but I would copy some of any communication that I sent out to another state. But the Michigan is one of like four states that are being used as a precedence for this to be made. And to me, it's like, oh my gosh, I want to know what Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Wisconsin, whoever else is involved, what are we doing? What are you guys seeing? Are we sensing breakthrough? That kind of thing.
You make a really good point, Cindy. And the other thing that struck me, and maybe you guys are already doing this, but if somebody writes a really good informative piece to their state that's about an issue that's really nationwide or would impact other states, I would think that another state director might say, hey, can I take this email and send it out to my list, my state? And boy, that would be wonderful to be able to share even things that we write. And certainly I hope that you guys are using anything that we write to repeat and resend to anybody that you want to as well. That's what the messaging is all about, is kind of creating an echo chamber where we're sending information out as often as possible and repeating ourselves as frequently as possible.
Good point. And just in the interim, everybody's email is on the email that I send out, the reminders every week, and I will work on getting an updated contact list. Good. Anything else?
Just thank you for the information about March next year. The state legislators, they're going to be so excited just to hear that. They really want to keep, this is Michigan, but they really want to keep the momentum going. We're watching our legislators. We're supposed to have a break the second week of June and all the way through July. And all they can talk about right now with this launch, Pray USA launch, is keeping the momentum going. So that's one thing I'm trying to examine and see either what Leah and Summer have done. I watch your emails and how you communicate like a hawk. I'm trying to watch other states to see what you guys are doing just to glean. So, I mean, that's so exciting. I can't wait to communicate that to them.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job, Cindy. Appreciate everything that you're doing there. Can I just
Leah,
one
other
more thing
real
too?
Quick. Excuse me.
Go ahead,
I'm
Bill.
Sorry. I just wanted to say this real quickly. Next year, January, February, March, Kentucky will be in session, so none of our legislators would be available for any time of a March meeting. So that might be important that you, if you have a way of knowing which states have, you know, when they have their sessions.
I appreciate that, Bill, and I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sure people are wondering, scratch their head, is how do we decide what time of year and what weekend to do this? It's one of the keys to this summit being effective at this point in time, and what's making it so sort of unusual is the number of congressmen that are ending up at this summit. I think you guys heard it said multiple times that this was unheard of. This has never happened before to actually have 16 members of Congress at a summit like this, almost three times the number that is at one of the biggest summits, the Defense Summit, outside of Washington, D.C. So this was a remarkable unprecedented kind of an event for our congressman. The reason we picked the March date is because there's only 2 days in the entire calendar year, 2 weekends, in which we felt like it was feasible to get those kinds of numbers at an event. And we understood it was March, which would be difficult for many of our state legislators. Many of our states are in session during that time. And so what happens is that the states have to just decide. Of course, we do it over a weekend because that's a more likely opportunity that our state legislators will be able to make it to a session. And they can go to things during session sometimes. Sometimes it's just impossible. Other times it's hard, but they can do it. So we sort of had to pick a, we just sort of had to decide. Do we go at the time when we know we can get congressmen there and some state leaders, or do we try to come up with another time that's better for the state leaders? The only time that's better for the state leaders is the second half of the year. That's just bottom line. It's July through December. And, of course, you can imagine many of those months are out for a lot of various reasons. But really difficult to come up with a weekend that all of our government leaders can attend. So I do appreciate that, Bill, and we labored over that because it's so important to get our state legislators there. But thank you for bringing that up and allowing me to let you kind of get a glimpse of how hard we've labored at trying to figure out a time.
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah.
Good. Good. We were just wrapping up. I see Abby was able to join us. I want to give you an opportunity, Abby, to share if there's anything in Pennsylvania that you'd like us to be aware of. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry I couldn't get on sooner. I think I've been keeping you up to date on Tuesday mornings on what's happening in Pennsylvania. So I do need to talk to you about the website for Pennsylvania so we can talk after the call.
Sure. That actually was one of the final comments I was going to make. We thank you all for your patience. We are working we did a whole new CPCF upgrade that, as you all know, the first phase launched at the summit. And then after the summit, we realized we worked diligently to get a PrayUSA site completely redone for this government leaders calling the Nation to Prayer. So we were working on all that. Now we're working on the state pages. And Kentucky's done. There are several states that are done or close to being done or are top priority, and Pennsylvania is one of them, Abby. So Jessica is working on that. So if you all want to I don't want you to take a look quite yet, but we'll have those pages up, and then I'll send you all the links to them so you can take a look and then give us any feedback or provide any changes that you think would need to be done. But we are working on getting those state pages up and functional. So thank you for your patience on that. Great. Well, great call. Just always great to connect with you all, to hear from what's going on in the states. And you all are champions. There's no doubt about it. Absolute champions. And we are honored to know you and to run this race with you. Just to close out, Pam, would you close us out in prayer today?
Sure. Father God, we thank you just for your love, and we thank you, God, for what you are doing in putting us together as a prayer network, Lord, a prayer caucus with our leaders. God, we cry out together collectively over America for awakening. And God, for our Supreme Court, that you would move on their hearts, Lord. God, even now that you would give them dreams and that they would turn and choose rightly. And Lord, we pray just for each person on this call and those that couldn't be, that you would move across our states. God, we cry out for all 50 states, Lord, that we would see a turning. And Lord, that you would move, that you would bring the body of Christ together for your purposes. Lord, I ask you to just bless Summer and Leah and the team, Congressman Forbes and the leaders across our country that are leading the charge. And Lord, we pray that you would give us just everyone, God, that's working together, great grace, strength, wisdom, revelation, and joy, God, in the midst of this war. Lord, that we would hear from heaven. And we thank you ahead of time, God, that you are hearing our prayers, and we will see the bowls in heaven tip out, and we will see a great awakening. God, just bless us and be with us, Lord, throughout the coming days and weeks, and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thanks, Pam. God bless you all. Have a great day, and I'll send a follow-up email with some of the details that I outlined, but again, and also the audio of the call. So thank you all for being on. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey.